We as followers of Christ just finished the holy plan of salvation, which we practice through the holy days. There are many Christians of the world, Christians of the world that just celebrated Halloween, and soon they will be celebrating Christmas. Every year, they celebrate pagan holidays in which the world has adopted, and they have put Jesus into these holidays. They really believe they are doing what God commands them to do. And not all that celebrate Halloween are Christians, but I do know a lot that are. They dress up and play like they are something for a few days, which is fitting to me because I believe they are plain Christian with their false holidays that God despises. Just like it says in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. I used to celebrate this holiday, in which I did for the social aspect and of course free candy. I used to dress up as Dracula, the superhero, and even one day I was the devil himself. And I didn't know or see the harm in keeping this holiday, but now that I am older and converted, I can see the contradiction in saying you are a Christian and then celebrating the holiday of the world like Halloween. I know that many of you know the history and the background of this holiday. We just had an excellent sermon a few weeks ago on Halloween. So in this sermonette, I want to discuss and explain the pieces that make up the whole armor of God and how it helps us against Satan and his fallen angels. In Ephesians 6:10, the armor of God is described by the Apostle Paul, which he wrote while he was in prison. In Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities," which is a land ruled by a prince. But what prince? I think you all know that. "Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And in verse 13, God inspires Paul to repeat himself. He really wants you to grasp the idea. And repetition is a great learning tool. This is why we repeat God's holy plan of salvation acted out through the holy days every year. In verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, not just a piece or what you feel is important, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and have done all to stand." And the pieces of God's armor. We need to gird our waist with the belt of truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. There's the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote about the armor of God while in prison, probably using the armor of the Roman soldiers as a template for what we as Christians must wear and be able to have on to fight against the devil. Let's look at these pieces one at a time. The belt of truth. The Roman belt was known as a cingulum or baltis. It was important because it held the scabbard that held the soldier's sword. Also, the belt had strips of leather hanging down, which protected the lower body. And it also said that the soldier's belt helped secure all the other pieces of armor to the soldier. So saying that the belt is the belt of truth is accurate, because without knowing God's truth, we cannot take the next steps in God's plan for us to be in his family. John 17:17. "Sanctify them by your truth, because your word is truth." The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the Roman soldier and the most important organs of the body. The heart, lungs, stomach, and all the other vital organs. We must protect our heart with righteousness. Hebrews 10:16. Jesus says, I will put my laws into their hearts, and then in their minds I will write them. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked, and who can know it? So we have to protect our hearts at all times, because a man's heart is a wicked one without God's Spirit. We must shod our feet with the gospel. A soldier needs good footwear to march against their enemies. When we shod our feet with the gospel, we are putting on the shoes, or we are covering our feet with the knowledge of the gospel, so we can walk in the path of the Father, and in the teachings of Jesus. Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The shield of faith. A Roman shield, or scutum, was a very large, slightly curved, rectangular shield with a large knob in the center called a boss. This shield was very impressive and was an excellent line of defense for the soldier because of its sheer size and shape. Some were up to 3 to 3.5 feet tall and about 3 foot wide, which had curves on the sides, which helped deflect arrows and spear tips. Ephesians 6:16. Take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Just as the shield was one of the most important pieces of equipment for a soldier, our faith is really the basis for believing in Jesus and being able to finish our race to the end. Many have died in the faith, not receiving the promise of the kingdom. We must also hold tight to our faith until Jesus returns, so we can fight with him and inherit the kingdom of God. Next is the helmet of salvation. And a helmet, as we all know, protects the head from an unhealthy hit or unforeseen blow. A Roman soldier's helmet was called a galli, which consists of leather on the inside, bronze on the outside, and some were decorated in gold. And today there's many sports and laws out there that require the use of a helmet. And just look at the football helmet, how it's evolved from just being leather to now it's high-tech plastics. But there's still players getting concussions wearing one. But for us as Christians, we have to, when we put on the helmet of salvation, is to protect our minds from the airwaves of Satan. And this whole room is filled with radio waves, cell phone towers, waves, and even the transmission of Satan and his angels. And has a thought ever entered your mind that you don't normally think about, and you're wondering, what was I thinking, or how did that even get in there? And it happens to me, and I know when I'm busy studying and preparing sermonettes, it helps to fill my mind with God's Spirit and his thoughts, which filter out all the bad airwaves that I used to have. But they're not all gone, and after all, I'm still human. And there's a saying, an idle mind is the devil's playground, and I believe that. And now that everyone has cell phones that are able to watch almost anything that we can imagine, it's that much more important to protect ourselves. And I've cut out a lot of old music and movies and TV shows that I used to watch, and I can say it really helps. And now that I have kids, I just can't believe the movies I used to watch as a kid, and there's no way I would let my sons watch that kind of stuff. So if we fill our minds with God's word, Satan won't be able to get in and derail us from our goal, which is being in God's family. And there's a sword of the Spirit. A Roman sword was called a gladius, and in the hands of someone that knew how to wield one was a great and powerful weapon. It was also known as the sword that conquered the world. It was a double-edged weapon with a sharp point for piercing armor. But we are not taking up a physical sword, but a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. The first five pieces of God's armor are clearly for defense. And although a sword is primarily an offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit is meant for defense also. Jesus used the sword of the Spirit when he was under attack by Satan in the wilderness after 40 days and nights of fasting. So just as Jesus used the verses of the Bible for his defense, we must also be able to use the sword of the Spirit to fight against the dark spirits out there to harm us. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Revelation 19:15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he will strike down all the nations. For even Jesus put on the armor of God. In Isaiah 59, it says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. The kingdom is coming. And even though we are promised of a resurrection to immortal life, we are still not there yet. For even those that have fallen asleep without receiving the gift have to sleep a little longer. But for us that are still in the world, we must continue to fight. To fight against Satan and his fallen angels. To have the right equipment to go head to head with the Father of lies, who has created these false holidays that conflict with God's holy plan. Holidays that make God angry because they are rooted in demonic and evil practices that have evolved into seemingly harmless and godly-based traditions. But for the Christians of this world, do not worry for them, because it is not their fault. They are just blind to the truth. And when most of these people find out the truth, they're going to take the zeal that they possess for these world's holidays and put the zeal into God's true holy days and probably run circles around some of us. So we must always be studying. We must always be learning. We must always be fighting for the truth. And we must always be clothed in the armor of God.